We're learning Shinyot Ches. This is going to be a what did we call it? A crash course in cooking on Shabbos. Simon Shinyot Ches. People think Simon Shinyot Ches. First of all, thank you very much for listening, for coming, and being as manim in extra time. We don't really go for extra time. We're not very good at extra time. But we thank you for coming in time. You have some spare time during the break. And you're coming to listen to Dvar Hashem, to hear some halachas. Now, Hilchos Bishul obviously is something which every yid has to know. It's something which is essential. We can't just leave it to our wives because who says our wives know it? If they leave it to us, then we're really going to be stuck. But one has to understand that the basics of Hilchos Bishul is something we all have to know, but it's something we're all capable of knowing. Bit by bit, we pick up the ideas, and it's even if those who know it already have to really every so often go through it again and hear the rules and solidify our knowledge. Now, people think of Hilchos Bishul as Yad Seled Espoy. Yad Seled Espoy is the first thing that comes to mind. It means, it, of course, that's when a person knows you put your hand in the hot water, and if it reaches the temperature or any heat, if it reaches a temperature of Yad Seled Espoy, that person's hand will recoil because of the power of the heat, that at that temperature, the item is subject to Bishul. Now, there's some people that think that Bishul itself is Yad Seled Espoy, that it mustn't go anywhere near the halachas of Bishul because they'll be burned. It's so complicated. They have to pull the hand back. It's not so. Bishul is something we can have grasp of, and we'll do our best to summarize the halachas of Bishul in the few days that we have together. I believe Rabbi Patkas is up to Simon Shin Yud Ches. He's done the first couple of pages. He goes in order, normally he jumps around. He goes in order, he does the Shulchan Aruch. Every other Shulchan Aruch, he goes in order. Okay, so we'll do our best. I must have a brief introduction to Bishul, because otherwise it doesn't have a surah to it. Let's start with an item which is not cooked. And has an item that's not cooked. Where have my notes gone? Chaim, over there. Under there, is there like a... There, just a second. Here we go. No, this is not the right one. Sorry. I don't think I'm cooked properly this evening. Half baked, I think. And let me just check over there. I don't know where my Mishnah, where my notes have gone. Was it in that Mishnah Brura there, maybe? Is it in that Mishnah Brura? There's notes? Yeah? Is there something in there? Yeah. Oh, Shkoyach, thank you. Oh, excellent. Very good. Right, okay. First, I want to discuss what Bishul is. The Rambam says Bishul is to affect a change by the power of heat, to affect a change either to make something soft, hard, like what happens when one cooks an egg, the liquid of the egg becomes hard, or the other way around. You can have Bishul, which affects a hard item, which becomes soft, like meat becomes soft when cooking. That's also an act of Bishul. We said already that Bishul only takes effect when one has the heat of Yad Seled Espoy. What is the heat of Yad Seled Espoy? Is a machloekas like everything else in Judaism, but we are at most, some say it's 70 degrees, but that's quite a lenient opinion in this regard. We are choshesh of Shem Zalman and Moshe writes already from 43 and a half degrees already is a concern that could be the heat, which is significant enough, a person's hand would recoil at that temperature, and that heat, Bishul, we have to be concerned, we have to assume, at least be choshesh, that Bishul can take effect at that point. Now, you may ask whether this is something we can just test scientifically, put your hand into hot water and see. Take 20 people and do a test, and we'll take a median, or an average, and work out what Yad Seled Espoy is. What is the big deal? Now, the big deal is like this, we are used to hot water since we have running water in our houses. If you take yourselves back to 80 years ago, even if you go to Belarus today, actually, probably, you'd also find that they don't have hot water necessarily in their houses. We went to visit the Valdek, and they were still schlepping out the water mit the trager, you know, with the well. So if they don't have running water, of course they don't have running hot water, and hot water, since we're so used to hot water, therefore our power to withstand the heat obviously has increased. Therefore it's difficult to calculate it exactly scientifically by doing tests here and now. Anyway, we take on 45 degrees already is Yatzeledes boy. If one has a heat of about 45 degrees, at that temperature one is choshesh, one is concerned perhaps this item will be subject to bishul. Now the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simon Shin Yud Ches, if you don't mind just jumping a little bit, in Shin Yud Ches, Seif, yeah, does that always happen? Sif Yud Dalad, if you wanted to have a quick peep at Sif Yud Dalad, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Mutalitain, page 274, Mutalitain, one can place Kitin Shel Mayim, a jug of water, Oisha Mashkim, page 274, Sif Yud Dalad, Mutalitain, one can place Kitin Shel Mayim, a jug of water, Oisha Mashkim, or other liquids, Keneged Oish, close to the fire, Lahofik Tin Osoi, to take away the chill. Uvulvad, provided she yitnim, he places it rochuk mehoesh, the distance from the fire, beinon in as much she in yochel is chamim boisim mokum ad she teyad seledes boy. You don't want to put it close enough that it can reach this temperature of yad seledes boy. Now the Mishnah Berurah explains, even if you plan to remove the jug of water or the food item before it gets to yad seledes boy, nevertheless, because of the concern, perhaps you'll leave it longer because you want it to be a little bit heated. Maybe you'll leave it longer and it'll come to Yad Seledes Boy and it'll therefore become cooked. It'll come to the heat temperature of Yad Seledes Boy and it can become theoretically cooked, and therefore may not leave an item close to the fire, close to a source of heat, that it could become Yad Seledes Boy, even if you plan to remove it before it does get to Yad Seledes Boy. Yeah. That is the din brought here in Sif Yud Dalet, the din of Yad Seledes Boy. I want to just discuss first and foremost the criteria for bishul. I mean, for example, if a person were to put a jug of water in a position where it could get to Yad Seledes Boy, and it gets to Yad Seledes Boy, or let's say one has a food item more to the point in a position where it could get to Yad Seledes Boy, but let's say this is a piece of meat, and even if it reaches Yad Seledes Boy, it won't become cooked. So what is the criteria for an item to be considered cooked? So with regard to a solid item, the din is, as you may know, that already when it reaches machu ben drusoi, it reaches a state of change, that this item, this food item is a third cooked, which is the amount of a meat, for example, which is a third cooked, could be eaten by this bandit with the Mishnah in Shabbos, is called ben drusoi. He used to eat his meat already when it was a third cooked. So once it reaches a third cooked, it's considered that bishul has taken place.
Somebody could eat something even if it's more than a third.
Yeah, the truth is you could eat a piece of meat raw. The Gemara writes you could eat a piece of meat raw, but that's not considered. Obviously, if you heat that's not considered cooked. When it reaches Yad Seledes Boy, that's right. I don't advise eating pieces of meat raw, by the way. It don't taste nice, first of all. But you could actually do so, provided you don't salt. Provided either you salt it or you rinse it, one of the two. But if you don't salt it and you don't rinse it, it's got blood on the outside. It's going to be subject to an issa of achila because you can't eat the blood on the surface of the piece of meat. If you do want to eat meat which is raw, yeah, do you want to eat meat which is raw? Yeah, if you do. First, you have to rinse it because of the blood on top of it, and then you can eat it, although there is blood inside it. That's dam shelo pirish. Dam shelo pirish is actually mutar ba'achila, can be eaten, but not advisable. There's not really anything to do with Shabbos. No, but it is brought, even on this page somewhere, this page itself, it discusses. Anybody's interested, you can look at these Mishnah Berurahs and find out how to eat raw meat. Anyway, once it hits, to cook a piece of meat till machu ben drusoi, cook it a third, one has already transgressed, according to many Rishonim, the melach of bishul. But don't think, well, if I've cooked it so far, I can allow it to continue. I can, let's say, take a piece of meat and cook it from that point on. Because the Rishonim, Mishnah Shulchan Aruch Paskins, and many Rishonim Paskin this way, that any continual act of bishul, even from the point of Machal Ben Drusoi, till the meat is fully cooked, it's still an act of bishul. So therefore, one must be careful not to put even a food item which is already cooked a third. Don't put it near a flame where it can continue to be cooked a little bit more, to any amount, till it gets to be fully cooked, is all a melach of bishul. That being the case, this is probably the most important part of bishul, I'm going to say in the next few minutes. That being the case, one has to be very careful to ensure before Shabbos that all food items are fully cooked when Shabbos comes in, before Shabbos comes in. Now you might say to me, "Huh, I can put it on a minute before Shabbos and allow it to continue to cook." Well, min haTorah you would be allowed to do that. Amid Rabbonon, if you have a blech, you could also do that. The halachas of Shehiya, you may remember from Shin Nun Gimel, mean that a raw piece of food can be placed on a sort of fire just before Shabbos, provided you have a blech. If you don't have a blech, then it can't, because it's a gezeira, you might stir it, stoke it, and make it heat, and cook it. But let's assume either you have a blech, or it's a third cooked, in which case there's no issa of Shehiya. Yeah, do you remember the halachas of Shehiya? Maybe we'll come back to that shortly, but I'm just concerned purely about the issa of bishul min ha-toiro. One has a food item which is not fully cooked, yeah? Even if, let's say, you have a blech and you haven't transgressed anything with regard to the issa drabonon of Shehiya, you have a food item which is not fully cooked and it's on the flame when Shabbos comes in, it's very easy to transgress the melach of bishul with this food item. And therefore, food items should be completely cooked when Shabbos comes in. Let me explain. There's five easy ways for anyone who wants to transgress the melach of bishul, to transgress the melach of bishul by having a food item which is not fully cooked on the flame when Shabbos comes in. First of all, you have this pot of food which is not fully cooked when Shabbos comes in. And you want to just see how it's getting on. So you take the lid off and have a smell and put the lid back on. Shulchan Aruch tells us earlier in Siman Reish and Gimel, by putting the lid back on, you're really speeding up the cooking process of this item, which is not fully cooked. By doing so, you're doing it as a deraisa of bishul. That's one reason, one easy way to be transgressed the melach of bishul min ha-toirah, yeah, if by having a pot which is not fully cooked on the flame when Shabbos comes in. Example number two. A person has a food item which is not fully cooked as Shabbos comes in, and he takes the lid off and he starts to stir it. So the Shulchan Aruch will tell us to stir an item which is not fully cooked up is also, if it's on the flame, is also going to speed up the cooking process, and that is going to be a melacha of bishul min ha-toirah. Third example, you have an item which is not fully cooked, which is in the oven when Shabbos comes in. And there's another item in the oven as well. You open the oven door, remove the other item, close the oven door on this food item which is not fully cooked. By closing the oven door, you're speeding up the cooking process of this item which is not fully cooked. Bishul min ha-toirah. Bishul min ha-toirah. A fourth example. You have this pot, which is not fully cooked on the fire when Shabbos comes in. And now it's Shabbos, obviously, as all the examples are. And you decide to take some of the cholin out of the pot. Maybe to move it to another pot, or you find there's too much cholent in this pot, whatever it might be. Or just to see if, you know, if it tastes nice, is it fully cooked, and you find it's not fully cooked. Well, when you remove the cholent, you're lessening the amount of cholent in the remaining pot. As we said before, the pot's not fully cooked, and because you've lessened the amount of food in the pot, the rest of the food is going to be cooking quicker. So by doing so, one has transgressed the melach of bishul min ha-toirah. All these examples would not transgress an issa bishul min ha-toirah if it's fully cooked. Definitely not. Definitely not. There might be suri drabonon which are attached to them, but I'm discussing purely five easy ways to transgress the melach of bishul. I've discussed four of them already: putting a lid on, stirring, closing the oven door, removing some of the food. Anything like this, which is done to put, which is in the pot, which is not fully cooked, is going to be a melach of bishul min ha-toirah. And the fifth example is probably the most easily transgressed And that is, if a person has, again, the pot which is not fully cooked, and it's Shabbos now, and you just, it's like, it's a bit not so near to the fire, it pushes it a bit closer to the flame. By pushing it a bit closer to the flame, which can easily happen, you know, with the pots on the thing, push a bit closer to the flame. So therefore, again, you're speeding up the cooking process of an item which has not been cooked. You're making it cook quicker. Make this item cook quicker. So even if it has a blech.
Even with a blech.
Because you're making the item, you're pushing the item closer to the flame. By cooking it closer to the flame, it's going to cook quicker. To make a food item which is not fully cooked, to make it cook quicker, is a melacha min ha-Torah of bishul, because you're now affecting the heat, you're affecting the temperature, making it cook quicker by putting it closer to the flame. So for all these reasons, one should ensure before Shabbos that food items as much as possible are fully cooked before Shabbos. True, if it's not fully cooked and you don't interfere with it at all, then bishul has not been transgressed. Bishul has not been transgressed, but it's so easy to transgress bishul by, as I said, putting a lid on, removing some of the food items inside the pot, stirring it, closing the oven door, or putting it a bit close to the fire. And on all these examples, bishul will be easily transgressed because the food item is not fully cooked. To speed up the cooking process is the melacha of bishul min ha-Torah. Yes.
I was always told it has to be fully cooked,
yes,
before Shabbos. Yes. So you're saying if it's not fully cooked before Shabbos and you don't do any of these five favors,
you haven't transgressed bishul min ha-Torah.
But could you still eat the food on Shabbos then?
If what?
Not
yeah,
cooked.
No, right. So now,
it's not fully cooked,
yeah,
and it cooks over Shabbos, let's say, the next day.
Yeah.
So before Shabbos it's not fully cooked.
Yeah.
By the next day, over Shabbos, it is fully cooked.
Yes.
Would you be allowed to eat it?
So I'm saying that you have not. There's no biblical transgression involved if the item is not fully cooked, provided, well, as I said, one doesn't interfere with the pot.
Not interfere.
Right. There can be rabbinical
prohibitions.
Yeah, rabbinical inhibitions. That's the wrong word.
Inhibitors. Inhibitors.
Yes, inhibitai. There can be rabbinical issues with having a pot which is not fully cooked on the flame when Shabbos comes in. Do any of the boys know what it is? What issues can there be if they have a pot which is not fully cooked when Shabbos comes in? What rabbinical issues can be involved? What's it called? Leaving a pot which is not fully cooked on the fire when Shabbos comes in, what Issa Drabbanon can be involved? Shehir. Shehir, we spoke about in Simon Reish Nun Gimel. I know it's a long time ago. They should do one page a day, yeah? Reish Nun Gimel. Reish Nun Gimel is as follows. Those who've learned the Gemara Shabbos Perek Kiro, the third Perek of Shabbos, there's a machlokes between Chananya and the Rabbanon. They ring a bell, Chananya and Rabbanon. Well, to cut a long story short, a pot of food which is that's a machlokes, Chananya Rabbanon, whether I'll make things nice and simple. A pot of food which is less than a third cooked, yeah, which is put on the flame before Shabbos, Chazal, the Gemara says Chazal were very concerned that since it's not fully cooked when Shabbos comes in, there's a concern a person may stoke the fire, and in order to ensure that the food will cook properly, be ready in time for Friday night meal. As a concern, he'll stoke the fire. So because of this concern, in Simon Reish Nun Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch writes, based on the Gemara, that any food item which is not a third cooked before Shabbos, yeah, midrabbonon, can't be placed on a source of heat, yeah, without a blech. Meaning without having covered the source of heat, and thereby, by covering the source of heat, that will ensure that a person won't come to stoke it, because by covering it over before Shabbos, then obviously on Shabbos you'll see it's covered. It will remind you, and you'll be rest assured you won't come to stoke it. Because it is such a strong concern, you'll come and stoke this fire to ensure that the meat will be nice and edible on Shabbos. Chazal said that midrabbonon, one must ensure that any food item which is not a third cooked when Shabbos comes in must have a blech. And that is the din of Shehir. So that's a din de Rabbonon. That means min ha-Torah, you could have this pot of food, which is less than a third cooked, have it, put it on the fire just minutes before Shabbos, and provided you don't touch it, you don't do any of those five cardinal things, you don't push it closer to the flame, you don't stir it, you don't put a lid on, you don't take anything out, you don't close the oven door, everything was fine. But midrabbanon, because of this severe concern, you're going to stoke the fire to make it cook quicker, they said, if it's less than a third cooked, you can't put it on the fire before Shabbos without a blech. Without a blech. So that's why, and ideally it should be fully cooked before Shabbos for this reason also, for this din d'rabbanon, because there's a shitta, the rabbanon who hold it has to be fully cooked, otherwise you need a blech. But provided there's a blech, yeah, as I said, if there's a blech, then even if it's raw, one could put it on the fire before Shabbos. Because one has not transgressed bishul, as long as you don't do the five cardinal things on Shabbos, and there's no din d'rabbanon of shahir because you have a blech. Right? But nevertheless, as we said before, because it's so easy to transgress the malacha of bishul, the d'oraisa of bishul, by doing these five things, so even with a blech, ideally, food should be fully cooked before Shabbos, and then one will not trip up in malacha of in bishul min ha toira.
So if that's fully clear. Cooked before Shabbos,
yeah.
By logic, then, strictly speaking, you wouldn't need a blech then.
Correct. Fully cooked food. If you have a pot which is fully cooked before Shabbos, is that because of shahir you would not need a blech? Correct. 100%.
We don't do that today, do we?
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why you have a blech. Because even if it's fully cooked before Shabbos, which it should be, as I said, because you don't these five things. But I'll tell you why I have a blech, because there's another din called chazora. Chazora. And we always try to avoid chazora because we're very lazy. But when it comes to Friday night, we all want to do chazora all of a sudden. Chazora means to return. Friday night, especially in the winter, you finish your Shabbos meal 4:30 in Gateshead, especially, as you know. And there's another, you go to learn, you go to sleep, you go to friends, and it's still in, let's say, 9:30, you don't know what else to do with yourself. So you go to the kitchen, and the cholent smells wonderful. So you take the cholent off. We don't take food out of a pot when it's still on the fire on Shabbos. Why? Because of this issue of stirring a pot, even though it's fully cooked, it could be considered an improvement to it. Anyway, never mind. We take the food off the blech, off the fire, and we take out our cholent. We want to have something to eat. And then you want to do chazara. We want to return the pot to the flame. Now, in order to return even a fully cooked, obviously fully cooked. If it wasn't fully cooked, you're going to trip up on one of these five things. I'm putting a non-fully cooked food item on the fire. Of course it's fully cooked. But Chazal said you can only return a fully cooked pot to the fire if you fulfill three criteria, which is quite well known. The primary criteria is that the flame has to have a blech. There's also criteria that it can only be, one has to keep hold of the pot somewhat throughout the time one removes the chalent. And also one can only remove it if one plans to return it. Yeah, we discussed this. We've heard these three rules. That's discussing a pot which is fully cooked. And nevertheless, you need a blech in order to return it on Friday night. So for this reason, often, people are careful to have a blech, even if the food is fully cooked for Shabbos, because you never know. Friday night, you might want to take some food off and return it. And that's another reason why a blech is needed or could be used. Right, so that's really very, very crucial to know as a background, really, to bishul min ha-toira. These are ways that one can transgress bishul min ha-toira, a pot which is not fully cooked, by putting it close to the fire, by putting a lid on it, by removing some of the quantity of the food, by closing the oven door. And what was the other one? Stirring it. One can avoid bishul min ha-toira. And therefore, all food should be fully cooked before Shabbos in order not to transgress this din min ha-toira. Additionally, there's a din called shahir, which means a pot of food which has not yet reached a third cooked. Midrabbanon can't be left on the fire without a blech because of the concern you might stoke it, and therefore Either you have the item fully cooked to avoid shahir, or one has a blech to avoid shahir. I'll just briefly start Sif Gimel, which you saw in Shin Yud Ches, I don't know if you did this, Rabbi Patkas, was discussing heating something by the power of the sun. Did you begin this with him? Yeah? Did you mention that? By the power of the sun? Yeah? Yeah. So the din is that Bishul is only transgressed if one has actually power of heat, of fire, and if one cooks something in the sun, one is not transgressed and it melocha of Bishul. However, to cook something in something heated by the sun, which is very interesting, very strange, is actually stricter. Midrabbanan, they forbade a person to crack an egg on a hot car because, although the car was only heated by the sun, but because since it's heated by the sun, it's called tolda of Eish, it's called like a child, tolda achsachamo, a child of the chamo. And if Chazal say we were to be permitted to heat something on as something which was heated by the sun, one person may also make the mistake that he can also heat something in something which was heated by a power of fire. For example, if you can crack an egg on a hot car, you can also crack an egg on a blech, even if the fire's off. Yeah, and that's a very grave mistake, because with regards to heat, there's no difference if it's being heated by fire itself or by a blech which was heated by the fire. It makes no difference, no distinction. And therefore, midrabbanan, they forbade heating something in toldos hachamo to ensure a person wouldn't come to heat something up by toldos o'esh, by secondary fire. Again, so to heat something up by the sun is permitted, but to heat something up by a secondary sun, i.e. by something which was heated by the sun, Chazal forbade midrabbanan, rabbinically they forbade it, to ensure one doesn't heat something up in a second degree form of heat. And if you don't believe me, we'll have a quick peep at Sif Gimel, and with this we shall conclude. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Gimel, Shin Yud Ches. You got it, boys? Yeah? Right. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Yud Ches, Sif Gimel, page 266. Kashem she'osu levashel ba'oro, just like one may not heat something in fire. Kach osu levashel betoldos ha'oro. Similarly, one can't heat something in secondary fire, i.e. something heated by the fire. Kagain, for example, litin beis ha'betzad ha'kadera, to put an egg next to a hot pot, although the pot's no longer on the fire. Oile shabra, or to heat it al suda, she'chum ba'oro, to crack an egg on a blech, for example, although the fire is no longer there, but it was heated by the fire. Kadesha titzle is exactly the same. As Eish told us, Eish ke'esh, and even says that the Shulchan Aruch Afira betold us acham, but even to heat something on something which was heated by the fire, could go in besuda, for example, to heat something on a car which was heated shehuchem b'cham, which is heated by the fire. By the way, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about a car. That's my example. Or if we allow a person to heat something on a secondary sun, then he may come to heat something on a secondary fire. And that's quite explicit in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch continues at the top of the page. Avol b'chamol chama atzma, if you turn to the top of the page, avol chama atzma, to heat something in the fire, in the sun itself. Kegoin, for example, litin beitza b'chamol, to heat a sun directly from the power of the sun. Litin mayim b'chamol, to heat some water by the power of the sun directly, k'deishi chamol, so it should become hot. Muta is permitted, so sun is permitted, and told us Hassan, the son of the sun, that's awesome midrabbanan, because he may heat something in the told us ha'esh in the sun of something which is heated by the power of fire. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue. We'll move from this issue. We'll discuss the various kelim, keli rishon, keli sheni, keli shlishi. Be'ez Hashem, will do as much justice as we can in the time given. But just to summarize, we've seen today that an item, any food item, for example, doesn't have to be food actually. Any item which can be subject to melacha of bishul by putting it close to a source of fire, or even close to a source of a toldos of fire, is also prohibited. If at that position it can get to Yad Tzeledes Boy is the requirement of heat for the melacha of bishul to be transgressed. Bishul either means to soften something hard or to harden something soft. Generally speaking, is to affect a change to an item. We've also explained the bishul is only takes effect when is only when item reaches machul ben drasoi, But once it reaches that Malchut Ben Yosoi, once it becomes a third cooked, any subsequent cooking heat that it is subject to is going to be a further act of Bishul. And therefore we've explained an item which is not fully cooked is very easily subject to Bishul, either by putting it close to the flame, or stirring it, or removing something from it, or closing the oven door, or putting a lid on it. And therefore, for that reason, all food items should be fully cooked before Shabbos, to avoid actually the malach of Bishul. Additionally, we said that a food item which is not a third cooked may not be put close to a flame before Shabbos, because if there's no blech, because the concerned person might stoke the flame, and therefore before Shabbos, either one has a blech, or one makes sure the food is fully cooked for that reason as well, for this rabbinic reason, to avoid the issa of shahir. And we also mentioned that a fully cooked food item also could be subject to the need of a blech, and that is if a person wants to remove a pot which is fully cooked, and therefore is not, by returning it to the fire, it's not going to involve any subsequent bishul min ha-Torah, but min ha-Rabbanan, because it looks like bishul, because I'll say one may only do so, may only return a fully cooked food if one A has a blech, B one keeps hold of the item, and C one plans to return it after removing it from the flame. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue, for those who've still got koyach, haven't been too long an outing, with some more halachas with the kelim, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow. Thank you for listening, and look forward to seeing you.